We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Sports Update, pressure's on. Rob Ray said I sucked at it. The Vancouver Canucks re-signed defenseman Alex Edler this morning to a two-year contract extension at an average annual value of $6 million. Edler recorded 34 points in 56 games this past season. It was also announced yesterday that the Canadiens will host the 2020 NHL Draft, making Montreal the site of the event for the 27th time, the first since 2009. The 2020 Draft will be held over 2 days, Friday, June 26th and Saturday, June 27th. Speaking of the draft, the 2019 NHL Draft begins tomorrow. You can watch the draft with the Instigators at 716, Food and Sports starting at 6:30. There will be autographed Sabre prizes, limited edition Instigator merchandise, and untold draft stories from a bunch of our friends. For more details, check out at the Instigators on Twitter. Trying to still see if Rob Ray will accept an invite. Forward Corey Perry's contract was bought out by the Ducks yesterday. Perry had 2 seasons remaining on an 8-year contract, which contained a no-move clause. Perry won the Stanley Cup with the Ducks in 2007, ranks first in Anaheim history in games played, second in goals, and third in assists and points. Tune in to One Bills Live, where Steve Tasker will be joined by WROC-TV's Thad Brown. They will get a chance to talk with the Athletics' Matt Chatham and recap the Patriots' offseason. The Bisons beat the Indianapolis Indians 6-3 last night at Salem Field. As of now, assuming the rain clears up, the Herd will host Indy for an afternoon game today. First pitch at 1:05.
Going on a limb, it's canceled.
You going to throw that one out there?
Yeah.
Okay, Rob Ray, weatherman.
Help you out here a little bit.
Weatherman Rob Ray chiming in there. Game is canceled officially by Rob Ray. Today's National Day, that's your sports update. Today's National Day is National Vanilla Milkshake Day.
That sounds good.
Nice. National Ice Cream Soda Day.
Sounds good, too.
National Hike with a Geek Day. Well. And National American Bald Eagle Day. So I feel like you could tie all those together. You could go for a National Hike with a Geek Day, hopefully see a American Bald Eagle, and then the two of you can have a milkshake and an ice cream soda at the same time.
We should call Dunleavy and take him for a hike.
Yeah?
What? Or Duffer.
Oh,
Marty.
My Razor.
I know he's listening.
It took Petey a little bit to clue into where he's going with that one.
Like, what do you do? Hey, listen, fun facts. Born today,
who?
Lionel Richie, Nicole Kidman, John Goodman. And on this day, Jaws was released in theaters in 1975. Did you go see it, Razor?
Jaws, yeah.
Did you go see it in theaters?
75?
How old were you in
75? Seven.
It's possible. Did they have a theater in Sterling back then? I don't know. Like, did they have a theater?
There was a theater there that it used to be a regular theater, and then it wasn't for a long time. But when I was a kid, it was every, I think, Tuesday night in the summertime, they would play a movie. So it would be one of the Disney movies or whatever.
Where is Sterling? Is it Ontario?
Yeah. About 2 hours east of Toronto. If you went straight north across the lake from Rochester and then about 20 miles inland, it's a small town right there. So there wasn't much.
So when you grew up playing hockey, where did you play your youth hockey?
In town.
Sterling?
Yep. We had one of those dome rinks, the ones that were half moon-shaped thing, and you'd get there in the morning. Sometimes there'd be a sign on the door until the snow melts off. Not safe to be in the building, so you'd have to come back, and it was awesome. Wow.
We're going to talk qualifying offers here on the Instigators on WGR 515 MSG. Rob Ray here for a little bit longer. Brian Gionta here for the rest of the show. Great first hour, a lot of fun. Can't even remember what we talked about. We touched on so much. Get off my phone. And that being said, so yes, Monday I did something. I don't want to talk about it for a long time, but I had a chance to sit down with Razor and Ty Domi and go over their 13 fights together and the history And watching the two of you guys interact was absolutely phenomenal. I've watched some of the footage, and it's amazing. That being said, I have to get your guys' thoughts on this. The other day, Justin Bieber challenged Tom Cruise to a fight. No. Hear this out. And it's UFC president says Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise fight could happen. Both may be interested.
How much are you paying Tom Cruise to take that fight?
Like, Tom Cruise could do the entire world a huge favor here if he beats this kid down. Ethan Hunt, Maverick, what else has he been? Tom Ribs is shaking his head. You don't think this? See, ladies and gentlemen, I want everyone to know this. Why did I bring this up? Is it hockey related? Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because this is the kind of crap that we would talk about in the locker room.
Yeah, but you know what it would be? Do you guys watch the show Billions? Series Billions?
Yes. Watching it right now.
Did you see the one where the two guys are, got in the ring for charity?
Yeah.
And they're going to box? It was the most disgusting, stupid boxing match ever.
Okay, don't spoil it.
They weren't in shape. It was awful.
I think these two guys are. I think this will be different. I think this
Bieber hasn't got a muscle in his body.
I disagree.
I think Bieber takes down Cruz.
No!
100%.
No! Yep. Says the Italian Rocky Balboa.
With the tattoos going to.
No, I think Bieber has made an ungodly amount of money.
Apparently.
And now what's he doing? What's he done for the 7 years? Guy's not 18 anymore. He's now 26 probably, right? He's got to be 26 years old, 27 years old. This guy,
mentally,
he's
still 14. Physically, he could be in his 20s.
That's all he does.
Slippery.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Slippery.
Go bring up a picture of Biebs. Biebs is jacked. I hate to say it.
Yeah, but jacked doesn't mean anything. Butterbean wasn't jacked. All I'm saying is Tom Cruise, okay, big Tom Cruise fan, big Tom Cruise fan, okay? All I'm going to tell you is this. Have you ever seen him run in his movies when he sprints and he's like,
I like the one when he jumped the building and broke his leg.
Okay, look, the point is, this guy's they're not that big. All I'm saying is I believe Tom Cruise will beat the snot out of Justin Bieber.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the net worth right now of Tom Cruise? What do
right
you think
now,
it is?
200 million?
200?
Probably 500.
500?
I know. I was watching your screen. So.
Okay. So he's 560.
Is he really?
Tom Cruise. You think he's going to take a fight to put his legacy on the line?
What legacy? The one he left
Mission
on Oprah?
Impossible.
He's Maverick.
The one he left on Oprah on the couch?
He's Maverick. He's
Yeah, but he's lost that.
The Mission Impossible.
He has, Tom Cruise has taken an enormous fall in terms of popularity for many different reasons.
All right, great.
But so he might need this. And I'm going to tell you what, if there's one guy, he can build his reputation.
He needs this.
If there's one guy.
$560 million and he needs this.
Yes, he needs to
think he needs this. What's Biebs' net worth? What do you think?
I don't know. His franchise got to be near $1 billion, maybe. You think?
Really?
Yeah, maybe.
Two.
$2 billion?
200.
200 million?
Yeah.
265 for Biebs.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
So neither one of them need it. But this is PR, right? Like, haven't we learned?
I just don't, you have, Biebs is 24 years old. You have, Tom Cruise, who's what, 50, 55?
That doesn't do anything to me. That doesn't worry me at all.
It was stated that Bieber's dad is 12 years younger than Tom Cruise.
I will take you right now over Bieber today.
Why don't we set something up? You two go at it.
Who, he and I?
Why would I want to do that?
Why would I want to do that?
Well, I'm just saying.
Would you like to be the Don King of that, would you?
I would ref that one.
Would you? Well, ref it? Would you promote it, too?
I'll promote it.
You would throw in a sucker punch.
Will you be on the sideline with the towel?
Side.
With the towel right before I hit him with one last punch, and he's going down, no! Apollo
gets... How do you think that you might get the last punch in?
I think I could take him.
Yeah.
I have the reach advantage.
I don't know. But he's been working out. He's been working out lately, though.
Yeah.
He's getting ripped.
Yeah.
Getting himself back.
He came in here limping the other day. Speaking of limping.
My youngest son said that my man boobs are getting tighter. He always comes up and he flicks the patty as he as he's, and I'm like, I am gonna strangle this little guy. He's not gonna last very long. So I'm working out now. And he has said that I'm starting to tighten up the patties.
Wow. All right. Qualifying offers. Some of the boys got qualifying offers yesterday. Jake McCabe, not surprised. Are you guys surprised by Gergensen-Larsen?
No,
it's
I mean,
formality,
no,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to, they're protecting themselves, I would imagine, against not getting any other moves done. You qualify those guys, and they're very serviceable. They work hard. You can find a spot for them. Whether you make a ton of moves and they become your in and out type guys, or you know, you use them. I mean, I think there's a Gergensen's, he's one of the hard working guys. He can be an identity guy. Larsen, you can find a good spot for him. So no, I'm not surprised by that.
Do you not think that those guys are out there? Do you not think that there's Gergensen's going to be out there that you could bring into this?
So what
lineup?
Are you going
to
do? Switch yes, Gergensen's but
you
for Gergensen's?
That's what I mean.
Exactly
you know
what I would do.
Yeah, but you know what
Gergensen's
you're getting.
Been
in those
here
guys.
For 7 years. Sometimes. And I've said this probably 1,000 times on this show. I like the way Gergensen plays. The difference is I believe that, Zemgus in particular needs a change, as does the Sabres. And I think bringing in someone new that's going to be, that hasn't been part of the environment for the last 7 years of losing, I think you bring someone else in that has a fresh, clean slate. Some of those guys come into a lineup and they work extra hard because it's new. They're impressing new coaches. They feel uncomfortable because the trainers are new and the environment is new, and you have to go and get an apartment or a house and your kids have to go to school. You feel uncomfortable. When you feel uncomfortable, you grow. You do good things. And I just think right now, this has nothing to do with his play. It has to do with, I just think that if you can find someone like him that's going to do the same thing, I would bring that person in. That's what I'm saying, because he's going to feel uncomfortable. He's going to want to try and establish.
I'd rather replace that guy that you're going to play that limited ice time to with maybe somebody younger.
Than Gergensen's?
Yep. Where are you going with him? You're just buying time.
Are you buying time? Like, you look at, for an example, like, the teams that we watched in the Stanley Cup playoffs play big, heavy. Where'd Barbashev come from? How long has he been in the league? Where's Sundqvist come from?
Sanford,
too. You know, like, you look at in Boston, they had Curley or Achari.
Do you know what? You know what worries me about
Nordstrom?
Nordstrom, you had
Nordstrom. Is that his style?
It became his style, whether it is or not. It became it.
Can I throw something out there? Dan Pae, first round pick, 20th overall, traded from Buffalo to Boston for second, third, whatever. First round pick fits nicely onto a fourth line, wins a cup. Like, Gergensen's to me is look, I can't speak to inconsistency. I can't speak to attitude if it's good or bad. I don't know any of that, okay? But what I can tell you what I see in this player is a guy that is developing into, I think last year, finally, I think has been established that he is a fourth-line player, okay? Winger, center, whatever. And, you know, the whole team had a tough year last year. It's not easy to transition into that role. It's not a glorified role. And
so
you know,
the reality you have identified him as a fourth line role.
Yes, I have.
Well,
I have,
I
feel like
I don't know if he feels that way.
I don't know about that. I feel like he put the work in last summer, preparing to be a player like this. You know, small areas, physical, in front of the net, as we're seeing, penalty killer, blocking shots, finishing checks. If that's what he can become, and stay consistent and be healthy. I think you have a nice player there on your fourth line that can make under a couple million bucks, get you around 10 goals a year, 20 points, kill penalties, and maybe you can develop the confidence in him to play in crucial situations late in games and things like that. Like, I believe in this guy. I'll never quit on the fourth line guy because I was that guy, and I wouldn't have wanted someone to quit on me.
But
and
don't
I,
you think they're looking
quitting
for
on? I know you're not. But
has nothing
no,
to do
well,
with quitting.
No. It, well, in a way, passing him on to bring in somebody else like him is you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like buying a. I don't know. I don't have an analogy
don't you
for
think
you.
There needs to be different.
There needs to be
it
different,
needs to be
but,
a different,
but if
look,
you,
it needs to be a different something.
But if you come in and surround in these guys see? With, like Ribs wants, a really good second line, and now your depth, and we've talked about it before on the show, that when guys are put into the right position and they're surrounded by other guys that are in the right position and quality guys that are doing their job, it makes them better, right?
Do you have to split, like, buddy? Do you have to go? You can do a walk-off if you need to. We can take a break in 2 minutes.
No,
okay, go ahead. Sorry, Gio.
What I was saying is if you surround these guys and they're put in the right position, we've talked about it before. O'Reilly is a Conn Smythe, a Selke guy, because he's surrounded by a full roster of guys that are placed in the right position and allows him to flourish even more than what he might have here. You know what I mean? So you surround a Gergensons with, you bring in those other key guys, he's very, very good for you on a fourth line. That was to my point.
Nine minutes a night. I'm telling you, Scott Wilson on the left, no one's going to like this. Go grab Ryan Reeves and throw him on the right.
Okay, let me bring something up.
I've got a hard-nosed, good skating fourth line that knows how to play the game properly.
Okay, so what was Zemgus Girgensson making?
1.6 was he?
And they had to qualify him at what? Gio, do you know?
That would be 1.8 ish, right? Somewhere in that range.
Okay, so they qualify him to keep him on this team. If you're in a situation where you look at, for an example, a player like Noel Achari from Boston, okay, he basically has the speed, the physicality. He's a wrecking ball. He knows where he is in the lineup. He is a fourth line right winger, and he does it exceptionally well. Okay? He hits. He drives the net. He can fight. Yes, that's still part of the game. He can fight, and he adds energy. You've played with him.
Yep.
Right? This player last year made, you know, $750,000. He is now an unrestricted free agent. What makes you think that we can't go pick him up for $1.7 million? $1.8 million.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going in the two range, but yeah, I guess you have to have a feel for the guys that you can get and the guys that you don't think you're going to be able to get. And maybe they have that feel that, hey, that's not an option. Maybe Boston, they have the feel Boston's re-signing them. Those conversations have been had. You know what I mean? Where does X individual stand, and is it a possibility? Like, those are happening ahead of time nowadays. You know what I mean?
So a few years ago, before we get out of here for break, a few years ago, we were so bare in the cupboard here with players, okay? And we were talking about players to play with so-and-so and players to play with so-and-so. And Girgensson, I was sitting here saying, try Girgensson there. I mean, he's a first-round pick. Try him. He has skill. He has an up and down style of game. He knows how to make smart little plays. You know, he can go to the front of the net, all of that stuff. And you know what? And the only reason why I kept saying that and I was so adamant about it was because you never know until you give a guy a chance. You can't just look at a guy and say it's not going to work. Otherwise, Anders Lee, Dustin Penner.
You don't think
Penner,
he had a chance?
Hold on. But that's what I'm saying to you. It has become more clear what his role in this league will be. And if he can figure that out more than he already has, I believe you have a very valuable asset in Zemgus Girgensson. I think it makes Larson expendable, okay? And I don't want to choose between either or. I've already made my decision. I will keep Girgensson, okay? But I'm just saying, you know, unless, I'm not saying that Jason Botro has to keep him. I'm just saying that if you end up with Girgensson as your fourth line center or your fourth line left wing with Scott Wilson and insert another good, reliable, speedy, Achari-like, or whatever you want on the right side, I think you have a good fourth line there. And you remember, you got it. We are still trying to build, like, kind of like a like bookending it here. First line, second line, fourth line, third line. Like we're, you know, everything in between, right? So
yeah, there's a lot that needs to be, there's a lot of changes that need to happen. I mean, we want to continue to build our younger players, and I think Jason Botchell continuously talks about developing from within our organization. I think the only way to be successful is to develop from within your organization. But how many of those players are you developing? You can't think that every single player on your team is going to develop and be an NHL player. We have players right now.
But
we are still developing Jack Eichel.
Right. People and you may know not, what, but here's the kicker. Here's maybe the point that I haven't maybe, and the reason why is because of what I've heard about Ralph Kruger and the way he communicates with his players and the expectation he puts on his players and what he's able to extract from his players in terms of effort, mindset, and all of that stuff. So I guess there are still some pieces on this team that I'm not sitting here saying, oh, give everybody a chance to stick around and try. No, you're like, time to go. We need to fill somebody else in that spot. But
that player on our team that it's time to go?
Stick around. We'll talk about that when we return on the other side of the break. Because you know what? There are some guys that might need a change of scenery. So we'll break that down. Who would stay? Who would go? Maybe Larson's one of them. But I'm sure there are others. Stick around for the instigators. Brian Giontas here. Are you liking this?
I'm liking it. I'm having fun.
You like coming in on Thursdays?
Yeah.
A lot of people raving about you on here.
Well, I appreciate the fans.
It's about having you on. You didn't bring your cup ring, though, yet, have you?
I did not.
Do you still have it?
I think it's somewhere.
I think it's somewhere. All right, we'll be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, we're talking qualifying offers and how many potential new faces could be in the lineup next year and out of the lineup next year. But one player that is actually noteworthy is Jake McCabe. When he signed that contract, it's hard to believe it's been 3 years already, but he went through that three-year deal. We thought that was an unbelievable contract for what he was as a player, and here he is at the end of it, Riv.
And it still is a great contract for what he what
yeah,
he
yeah.
did.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Listen, I'm not going to listen, other than injuries, you know, he played very well for a $1.6 or $1.7 million defenseman. So the question is now, you know, you qualify him, he has 1 year until he's a UFA, right?
Yeah. So right, now you're paying into your UFA years.
Or do you roll the dice and just let him play out his qualifying offer?
So
it goes both ways for the team.
True.
I mean, health versus, and also, you know, you have to mention, and I like Jake McCabe and the type of defenseman he is, but maybe is he a tradable asset too? I could see teams being in on a guy like this. He'll be an under $4 million defenseman when he signs his extension, if you sign him to a long-term deal.
I like what he brings to your team. Skates well, moves well.
He's not
big, but he plays.
He's not small.
Solid.
He's certainly not a small defenseman. Like he's not 6'4",
yeah.
But you know, I don't even know how big he is. Like 6'1".
Yeah,
he's a good solid player. He's physical. He adds that physicality to the back end. He has played as a top four defenseman with the Sabres for a few years now. He's coming into his best years, I would imagine, as a defenseman. I would think that it would be a piece that you would want to continue with. But, do you sign him to a lengthy contract, or do you allow him to play it out? I don't really know. There's also an opportunity to say, hey, you know, like at what point do we move a Jake McCabe because he has worth? I mean, is he a tradable piece for the Sabres?
You have to be getting something back. Yeah, yes, you maximize. I understand the concept of maximizing the value, but you also have to be getting something back that is of value too. I, Yeah, he's at. He may be at the top. Like you mentioned before, Bogle's at the top of his value. Guys like that, but you go and take advantage of their value, and you don't get anything in return. Something has to be of substance to maximize.
Here's
those
another
returns.
Way to do it. You sign a 1-year deal with him. You know, he rolls the dice. You roll the dice. You know, you hope he stays healthy, and. He played 59 last year, 53 the year before. I think shoulder problem.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. But anyway,
so he's a low. He's a you know, in a full season, which he hasn't played a full season. He's been hurt two years.
No, he did. He played 76 games in 1 year. He had 20 points. That's a good year.
That's a solid year. That's a solid year for you know. He was also playing in a top four position. 20 points for a top four defenseman. You'd like to see a little bit more than that. That being said, he did add. Physicality to the back end. He added a guy that can move the puck. He has shown that he is he's not just a stay-at-home defenseman. He has shown that he could skate and get up in the play. He's certainly
scored a beautiful goal this year, you know, busting down the wall and going to the net, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he can.
Yeah. I mean, you just want to make sure that you're making sure that you're going to sign him to a long-term contract. You need him to be healthy. And well, I mean, health is everything in today's game. I mean, if you have millions of dollars out of your lineup, you know, I don't care how good you are on paper, you need your players to be healthy. And, you know, you would hope, I would think that the Sabres will take their time. And want Jake to
but
to
you also want to know
that
this isn't going to become a trend too. Like it's okay to you know, say you don't want, you know, that much money sitting out of your lineup, but also, you know, owners just don't want to have guys on the IR. They want to know that they're going to be able to get production out of them for the term of the contract. So if he's playing 55 games a year, that's why I think this will be the third straight year that you'd be able to see what his durability is. To, you know, like personally, I like Jake McCabe. But I need Jake McCabe if I'm going to be paying him between $3 and $4 million to be healthy
for what?
75
a long term contract.
Yes.
Well, you're crazy. I mean, guys like that who are playing in a top four role that is playing.
Is he going to be in a top four role here though? Like right now, is he in a top four role between Dahlin, Montour, Risto, and maybe McCabe, maybe Scandella, maybe somebody we don't know yet, maybe.
Well, you know, I mean, you have your Dahlin and Montour that might play together next year. There's probably, you know, one of your top pairs, Risto, if he is here. I would imagine that he would probably play with Jake McCabe as your second pair defenseman, more of a shutdown role. Your third pair is going to be a Scandella, a Pilot. And a Bogosian when healthy. You still have Casey Nelson. You still have...
Hunwick,
who has one more year left on a contract. So there's lots that could happen. There's a lot of D that are in the fold right now, and we still have some younger players in the minors that are going to be hungry to try and win jobs. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. If they feel that there's some younger players that are going to be, you know, taking a bigger role and a bigger step, you know, next year, and maybe it's not at the start of the year, but maybe it's in the three-quarter part of the year. Maybe Jake McCabe plays out a one-year deal and the Sabres move him out because they feel that a younger player is going to come in and move into that position. So there's lots that's going to play itself out with a player like Jake McCabe.
Okay. All right, interesting. So we were talking before about players that, you know, we could see not being back, or players that, you know, might stay that you might be surprised. And Gergensen's, you know, he were, you know, just based off the conversation of qualifying offers. You did a quick lineup there. How many spots available do you have on this team right now?
It's very tough for me to say, because what I feel it is, you know, changes every day. I mean, you could put a million different lineup lineups together, and it changes constantly with guys that you had out and why not lineup. And it just depends on what's coming in. I mean, you don't really know until I just know that for me, when I watched the Sabres, they lacked aggression. They lacked tenaciousness. Guys that would win battles in corners along the boards I'm not looking for Tom Wilson, bone-crushing type players. I'm looking for guys that want to have a compete level that's high and hard to play against. And that's the big thing. You need guys that are hard to play against. And right now I found that the Sabres were too easy to play against.
Well,
they were soft. They didn't have heavy sticks. They didn't have a heavy presence. They were certainly not a physical hockey team, which I just think that teams loved playing against them, and that needs to change.
Do you think that is personnel, or do you think that was coaching philosophy?
I think it's personnel. I don't think it's coaching. I think
can't say that was a little bit. I mean, the coach just did get fired.
Okay,
I'm just saying the mindset of how.
But he got fired for a number of different reasons, right? And we don't want to sit there and hash that out. But I do believe that they did not have the personnel in their lineup to be able to play the game that, you know, and
be able to play a system that nobody else plays.
Yeah, but I think you have guys that will, with the change that has been made, they will become more of the type of player you want.
So here, so when I hear, let me give you my interpretation of roster surgery when I hear it. Okay, so you know, I look at this is what I see. I could see as many changes as guys of uncertainty of Pominville, Evan Rodriguez, Johan Larson, Zemgus Girgensson, Connor Sherry, Vladimir Sobotka. How many guys is that? I'm not saying they will be gone or should be gone. I'm saying could be gone, yes. And some of them will be gone. Because some of these guys will be gone
because you know Sam Reinhart, Jack Eichel. A Victor exactly. Olofsson, who's a very young player, Jeff Skinner, Casey Mittelstadt. I just named five guys in the forward line that are not physical hockey players. I wouldn't call them heavy hockey players. I wouldn't call them hard to play against hockey players, but they're very skilled. They have a skill set that a lot of players in this league don't have. So those guys, you want them to play to their strengths, but you have to insert players around them mm-hmm. that have a skill set that we don't have. Rodriguez is a very nice hockey player. He had a really good season last year. He's not really hard to play against. Same with Connor Sheary. He's fast. He's quick. He's not hard to play against. He's soft. He got out-muscled along the boards basically every time he had the puck. I mean, there's too much of the same player on this roster for this team to continue or to move forward and have success. There has to be change in this roster. And well, I'm not saying that Connor Sheary is a bad hockey player. Evan Rodriguez had a very nice season last year. I love calling him Evan. You guys love that, eh? But, I mean, you have to try and identify who I'm going to keep and who I need to kind of change out because I need an identity. Right now, the identity of the Sabres were they were soft and easy to play against.
I want rapid fire, yes, no, TSN trade bait. I'm going to scroll down on forwards. Just yes, no's, okay, on whether you'd move for them quickly. We only have about 20 seconds here. Ready? Starting just all forwards in order. Zucker.
Yes.
Yes.
No, at the same time. Ready? Kessel.
No.
Good talk, Riv. Callahan.
Yes.
Are you here?
Callahan.
At same time, I said.
No.
Jimmy Vesey.
No.
No.
Canucks first rounder.
No.
No.
Connor Brown. Kyle Turris.
No.
Michael Frolik.
No.
No.
Jesse Puljujärvi, Patrick Marleau. No. Nazem Kadri.
Yes.
Yes.
That would never happen.
Right, but that's...
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. A skilled guy that plays on the edge. That's what Ribs is looking for.
And he's a bit of a rat. He's going to hit. He's going to play on the line. He's going to play, you know, on the edge.
Chris Kreider.
Yes. I think he's a big, like 6'3", 230-pound rocket up the left wing. Yeah, I'd take him for sure. You think you're going to knock him off the puck? No, you're not knocking him off the puck.
David Clarkson.
Yes, I'd take him. In his day, he was a nice hockey player. He's the player. He is a power forward. He scored all his goals in front of the net. He was nasty. He would fight anybody in the drop of a hat, and he was kind of like that second, third line right winger.
I'm going to end.
There's not a whole lot in the unrestricted free agent market. It's not like you're knocking down doors there and saying, oh, this guy is absolutely who we want. I mean, most of the most of anything that's going to help our hockey team is going to have to come through, I would say, a hockey trade.
We'll be right back. Final segment. Brian Giant is in studio with the guys. We'll talk about what we expect from tomorrow night. Draft party, 6:30 at 716. If you didn't already know, now you do. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Giveaways, meet and greet, hot stove conversation, draft stories. Rob Ray just inserted himself into – no, he did not. JJ asked him. He accepted the invite, which I think is amazing. So, Razor, I know you're driving. He didn't, JJ? Sorry, Razor. I guess you didn't. we'll be right back. Get my facts straight here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
And The Instigators, and happy to include Gio in that title. So Brian Gionta, Craig Rabe, Jeff Peters, my brother, second rounder of Chicago, went higher than you two donkeys. Didn't quite go as high as I did. Rob Ray is, I think, on the fence. Danny Gare and Marty Biron. Marty Biron was a first rounder. Lots of stories. I was trying to think about stories from each draft year that I remember from each of yours so that we can sit around. We're going to do like a hot stove type thing. We'll just chat, pass the microphones around, and if fans want to ask questions, just anything. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't even have to be draft related because we all got to where we are because of the draft. So come on out, 6:30, 716. We'll be pouring beers, beer races, swag giveaway. We have hats like the one, number one of 50 that I have on my head here. Shirts, royal blue, brutal shirts. What's your saying, Gio? Like we have, we had a, like, you know, Matty Ellis was bang on. Okay, your Rivs is brutal. Marty's is this or that. So we got to get.
We got to get.
Should we get the Italian Stallion?
I don't know. We got a
Geo style. Can we just put your Twitter handle on there?
Yeah, we can do Geo style. Geo style.
So we're gonna get. We'll get some Geo shirts made. Is it you approve this?
I approve message. It. I approve this message.
Okay, good. I look forward to it. This will be fun. I bet you they'll go, and we'll get. Well, you know what we'll do? We'll get extra smalls made too.
No, I'm a medium. I'm not an extra small. Like, I know I'm small, but, like, not that small.
I noticed today that you wore a shirt that covers up the guns.
Yeah. Well, was Petey not – was he – he wasn't here that day that I was insecure
Did you have a tight one
I was
on?
Really insecure about the sleeves. Everything else fit well, just the sleeves, and I was busting out of it.
He's sitting just kept there, and he, riding all up. He did before the show was pull down his sleeves, and it was like that material that was like elastic, like, right back. And I said something along the lines of, you know, did you wear your son's shirt today? Because the guns were just bulging
Show everybody what you got. Like those. Listen,
I got repaired.
You have arms of a guy like 6'3".
Both biceps were torn. Bicep tendons.
No kidding.
Yep, back to back years. Just hitting the buys and tries too hard on the Fridays.
Do them right and do them light.
Yeah.
Maybe lighten up the load a little bit.
No, you don't get these bad boys without putting the work in.
One Bills Live coming up next. Pipes don't score goals, or maybe they do, according to @GeoStyle21. 6:30 tomorrow. See ya.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.